Good morning and welcome to all of you that are here in attendance and those watching online. My name is Joe Hill, recent addition to the Oakwoods Church teaching staff. I'll tell you, you might want to hold that applause. I'm an Army veteran of 30 years and an Army civilian of 16 years. My wife, Margaret, and I, we moved down to this area in 2019, and we found Oakwoods Church in 2021, where we were lovingly welcomed into the church, and most importantly to us, that the Word of God was unapologetically taught. Oakwoods Church is a good place to call a church home. As you come into the hallway there, you see the church vision on the wall. Love God, love people, share Jesus. I'll tell you, that vision was very real to me and my family in 2023 when my wife, Margaret, she went home to be with the Lord. And this church mourned with us, held us tight, and they were at our side at every moment. So if you are looking for a good church home, I highly recommend Oakwoods Church. And I strongly recommend that you don't make your assessment on me today. Yeah. Come back and give us another chance, all right? All right, so a church has a mission. Well, before we get to that, first and foremost, I just want to thank Pastor Durrell, our senior and founding pastor, for this opportunity to be here today. I really don't know what hit him. I think it was lightning to make him think that this was a good idea. You know, he was on sabbatical recently, right? And so me and a lot of brothers, we were praying that he would come back refreshed, renewed, and with revelation for the church. Well, this was not in the plan for me. Nevertheless, here I am, and I'm feeling the weight of the calling, and I'm praying to the Lord that you and you online get exactly what he has for you today. Oakwoods Church has a mission plan, and that is to go through the Bible in 5 years. That's right, all 66 books in 5 years, reading and studying the Bible. Those books including the Old and New Testaments. It includes the law, the books of the law, the history, poetry, major and minor prophets, the epistles, and the gospels. All of it pointing to Jesus. And today we will be going through the book of Philippians. And we've gone through chapter 1 and 2 so far. Today we'll be going through chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. So let's start our journey in prayer. Lord, you are here with us now. As we open your word, I pray that every soul in this place and those watching online will receive what you have prepared for them. May I be an empty vessel filled with your spirit and present your word, not by my understanding, but by your spirit, who can and will do what the work that only he can do. This I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go jump right into point number one, grow with perseverance. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Let's say those three words together. I press on, that I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the Apostle Paul that is speaking these words. He is not satisfied with where he is in his position, in his walk with Christ. After all the mighty works that God has done through him, yet Paul says that he can draw closer. He's going to continue to persevere or to press on. Another word for that, perseverance, would be to be persistent. You see, God, he's not looking for perfection from us. What he's looking for is persistence. Persistence in following him. To pray, read, study the Bible. Continue to gather people around you, godly men and women, as examples. And to help you grow in your walk with him. And the reason for that is because you have trials and challenges ahead that will equip you for that. When I was in the Army, I went into basic training. I went into the Army, and I expected to be a soldier. But I was a civilian, right? So I had to get ready. They shot me through basic training. It was grueling. It was hard. And I was very happy when I successfully completed it, and I was on my way. Training was completed. No, not at all. Indeed, it was 30 years of training that I continued to grow, hone my skills as a soldier, continue to reach more responsibility, more levels, and at every level, I had to know something different. I had to continue to train. So it is with our walk with Christ. When you become a believer, you are washed, renewed, your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and you're on a journey. But that journey, moving forward, every step you take, it's a journey of challenge, a journey of trial, a journey of testing. You will have victories, but you will have low points. You have to equip yourself. You have to be able to read, pray, study, and get around believers that can help you with that. One of the best things you can do is observe people, and you can see that if they make mistakes, you say, okay, I'm not going to do that. And you can continue on your journey. So it's the same thing with Christ. As you grow and learn, you get more joy, you're persevering, you're growing, you're learning, and not only that, you'll be able to equip yourself for when that person who do not believe in Christ come and stand before you and say, why do you believe what you profess you believe? You'll have an answer for them through the spirit and knowledge and the study that you have been doing. You see, the Bible encourages us to gather Christians around us and use them as examples. You have good examples. However, it does not encourage you to compare yourself. I bet you even right now, if somebody watching or out there or looking up here and saying, I could do better than him. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you probably could. But I'm up here and you are out there, so you got, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That Sergeant Major started to come out in me. No. What I meant was, the Bible encourages us not to compare each other. What it does is encourage you to examine yourself. Now, you may say, how do I examine myself? Well, here it is. This is your standard. And you can find standards all through this Bible. When I was in the Army, again, I have to draw on my history. I was in the Army. I was a combat armed soldier. And combat armed soldiers had to be physically fit. Right? So we had the Army Physical Fitness Test, APFT. At the time that I was in the Army, it was just a three-event test, sit-ups, push-ups, two-mile run. By age and gender, it was standardized. All right, so if you got a perfect score in each one, you got 100 points, totaling 300. Everybody wanted to get into that 300 club because they was highly regarded if you were there. I wanted to be in it bad. However, I had a challenge, the two-mile run. I could get close, but I could not get that 100 points in the two-mile run. So what did I do? I trained for it. I would be running steep hills. I would be running after duty. I'd be running on weekends. I'd be running sprints. I'm doing everything I can to strengthen my body and gain the endurance so I could hit that point where I would get 100 points on the two-mile run. And I'm here to tell you, well, I'll just tell you real quick. I did it once. But to make a long story short, I didn't do enough push-ups, so I still didn't get it. I still didn't get to the 300 points. But you understand what I'm saying. On this side of heaven, as a Christian, we know we're not going to be perfect, but that should not stop us from trying to achieve it. We should always be growing in perseverance, read, study, pray daily. A good place and a good standard that you can use is the YouVersion app that we have in your, you see how the instructions are in your bulletin, and it's up here on the screen here behind me, how you can get in there. It's our church app. You go in there, church members are on there, you can read the scriptures of the day, you have a little commentary, you have a little prayer, and if you wish to, they got a little page there where you can put your thoughts and insights out to share with other believers, other members of the church. It's really good. You can start your day off like that. In the middle of the day, you can have a pick-me-up. Or in the evening, when it's time for you a little quietness, you can do it then, and then you'll have this peace of knowing that you had the scriptures before you before bed. So I highly recommend that you join us in on that app. A standard in the Bible that we would like to go through is this one. Everybody here has heard Sermon on the Mount, right? Has everybody heard anyone say before when you saw somebody do a real good job at work, or you saw an athlete do a great job, that somebody said, you know what? That person did an extra mile. They did the extra mile, right? Anybody ever heard that? Go the extra mile? Yeah. Did you know that saying was originated from the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah. This is how it was. Jesus was talking to the people gathered there, and he told them, if you look at Matthew 5:41, he told them, if you are forced to carry a pack 1 mile, you should carry it 2 miles. An example of turning the other cheek. You see, during the time when Jesus walked this earth, Rome was in charge of Israel. The Roman Empire had spread throughout Israel, and they had a law. They set a law in place. They said if the soldiers was walking, and they had this pack on their load, they saw a Jew, they could grab that Jew, put that pack on him, and he was forced to carry that pack a mile to give the soldier relief. And that's what he was indicating. He said, this is like an enemy, and you're going to carry that mile, carry not only a mile, carry 2 miles. The example was turn the other cheek, right? Now, we just went through that, right? I bet you right now there's somebody that indicated in their head, they got it in their head, Matthew 5:41, I'm going to check and see if he's right. And you check that, and you'll see that, yeah, I'm right, right? And then you can see, you know what? Turn the other cheek, that's a good thing. I think I'll apply that in my life. You may have some run across somebody you don't like. They may need a helping hand. You can say, I'm going to turn the other cheek, help them out. Not only help them out, do more than they even expected. All of a sudden, that person that maybe had a little animosity towards you may be interested in why you did that. There's your door. Why did you do that? Well, I've been reading this, the Bible, Matthew 5:41, and this is what it said. You see, you are spreading the gospel, and you are operating under the Great Commission, bringing in disciples. So that's an easy way, what I say is to this. You can pray that scripture. You remember the scripture because it's meaningful to you. And you'll carry that with you, growing in joy and perseverance, drawing closer to Christ. Another part of this that we have to get is, on the verses there, is a key word up there is count. You know, I don't count myself. Well, the thing is, in Greek, that word is lokizomai. And it means to assess, to evaluate, right? When you assess and evaluate yourself, you will have to remember that you are a Christian, right? You were washed, regenerated, and your sins are forgotten. You step out in faith. Now, when that happened for me, I did. I stepped out in faith. However, one thing that bothered me, I had a past life. That past life already by the King and by God was B.C., before Christ. It was forgotten. However, some of the things that I did, unfortunately, haunted me. And it hurt my progression. It hindered my progression to go forward. I kept asking myself, after all I have done, how can I serve him? But I have to tell you, that's the wrong question. This is the right question. After all he has done for me, how can I not serve him? That question spurs growth. That question spurs perseverance. That question makes you step out in faith a little bit at a time, growing. And I tell you, that question is the reason I'm standing before you here today. I didn't start this way, but here I am. Praise God. Now, I have to tell you also, and I want you to remember this, do not let your past life hinder your progression in Christ. Yes, there may be some consequences from your past life that need to be addressed. There may be some unforgiveness. You maybe have to go to someone and ask for forgiveness. Whatever the case may be in your life, you have to address it. Remember the question, after all he has done for me, how can I not serve him? Put that behind you. You are a child of the King of Heaven, so walk in it. Point number two. Grow with perspective. Growing in perseverance will help you grow in perspective. Now, you may be asking yourself, perspective, what is that? Well, it's a viewpoint. It is a mental outlook. And this mental outlook, what we call today, you may have heard, your worldview, your family, your friends, your community, the institutions in our culture, education, media, law, the courts, all of that is an influence on you, and it helps you to form a worldview, how you see the world operate, and not only that, it's how the world views you. That makes your worldview. Now, when you're a Christian, that's how you get your worldview. However, when you open this book right here and you begin to read it, you will find out real quick, your worldview is going to come in conflict. It is going to get provoked. It is going to be pressed. It is going to be a point where you will be saying, wait a minute, am I right? Or is this book right? Okay? But in this book, John the Baptist said in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, I must decrease. If you put that in your mind as you read the Bible and you come across these places of conflict, you will be able to surrender. Surrender to the will, start looking at the Bible through the lens of the Bible. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if anything of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. It will be revealing. It will be a revelation. You'll find that your worldview is being transformed into a heavenly view. You'll start looking at things differently. You'll start looking at people that you thought you hated. You'll know that there is something else behind that. And you'll be able to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. There we go. Thank you. All right, so here we go. As you go into this perspective, you got rules, right? Spiritual rules. That's what Paul is talking about. Here's a rule for you. Love one another. The world will know you are my disciples by the love you have for each other. That's what Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today. Now you say, how can I do that? Here's a great example. You have people that come here to Oakwoods Church. They walk up the steps. Before they can open that door, somebody's opening the door for them, give them a warm handshake, or a hug even, and welcome them in. As they come in, they look on the wall, they see our church mission. Love God, love people, share Jesus. They might glance into the kids' room there where we have studies for them. They'll see kids in there playing and laughing. They'll see people in the hallway talking to each other, different age groups, and they'll be having a good time. They'll welcome them. They can't hardly get up the hallway without somebody saying hello. And then when they come through the doors, they look over at the coffee shop. They are welcomed over there, ask them if they need anything. And they'll be saying, hey, this is really great. They come through these doors. And they look at this whole crowd out here. Everybody's talking, laughing, encouraging each other. And they're looking at this place and they say, you know, somebody runs over and tell them hello, welcome them. They have a seat. We have this wonderful worship going on. And then they get me up here and they say, I don't know. But you see, you get the picture, right? Same rule for everybody. Love one another. Everybody obeying that rule, showing it, applying it, right? And what are we doing? That person to the world and to the outside world, and they see that, it is much different than we see with all of the divisiveness and the hatred that we see going on in the outside world. They'll want to be able to join. This will be appealing to them. You see what I'm saying? And you know, it's all of us doing it together. That's unity. But all of us don't look the same. Remember what Pastor Darrell said last week? Uniformity? No, we don't have that. We don't all look the same. We don't all dress the same. But we are in unity and operating under the same spiritual rules. And that's a good thing. So we are intent on being the commander, King Jesus, and the intent of his heart, to love one another. As I said, as he said, the world will know you are my disciple because you love one another, as you love one another. Another example of the perspective, hitting, conflicting with the Bible. We're all here in the United States. One thing that we love in the United States is a choice. We get to choose who governs, who's in the places of office, who governs this nation, right? We vote on everything. propositions for school taxes, property taxes, everything is on there. We get to say yes or no, and we love it, and it is a good thing. However, if you bring that into the church, right? Well, I tell you right now, I've searched this Bible through and through, and I have not seen the United Saints of Heaven anywhere in it, all right? I haven't seen a voting booth mentioned in the Bible. You see, heaven is a kingdom, which implies there is a king. And I'll give you one guess who that king is. King Jesus, that's right. He must increase, we must decrease. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now, Philippians, this book of Philippians is full of joy, full of joy. Brother Danny told us a few weeks ago how Paul was in chains, but he was full of joy. Why? Because the gospel was unchanged. People, even the palace guards, was converted to Christianity. He was happy, even though he was in chains. So he couldn't have been weeping about that. Was it perhaps the Roman Christians that he was weeping about? I doubt that too, because he has a submissive mind. And because he had the submissive mind, there was no way that anybody was going to take Paul's joy. He was weeping because of his perspective and outlook on one thing. We don't know for sure, but we do know that in his time and that they followed him were people called Judaizers that Pastor Durrell told us about. The Judaizers was Christians who said, well, yes, Jesus is king, he's savior, but only way you're going to be truly saved is to follow the books of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a bald-faced lie. There's only one way to salvation, and that is the finished work of Jesus. He did it all. There is an author, a well-known author and Bible teacher. His name is Derek Prince. He said in his book, Foundational Principles for Christian Living, that Jesus Christ himself is the foundation for the Christian life. Nothing else and no one else. Jesus himself on the cross, the last words that he spoke, it is finished. The work was done. And ladies and gentlemen, that was a mic drop moment. There was nothing else you can add to or take away from the finished work of the blood of Jesus. So in that perspective, don't get it into your mind that because of what you're doing, your service is helping you to salvation. If you have been washed and you have taken the Lord as your Savior and he is Savior and Lord over your life, guess what? Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are a citizen of heaven. You don't have to do anything else but believe in him. So lay aside your worldview and allow God's word to come into your life. As you grow in perseverance and reading and studying, your perspective will change. You will love people, you will love God, love people, and share Jesus. And in loving people, you will grow in patience. Which brings me to my last point, and I'm pretty sure you're happy about it. Grow in patience. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also are eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. This is a wonderful passage for me. The citizenship of heaven. Now you say the Greek word that was used there for citizenship translates into our English language, politics, which means the behavior of a citizen in the country. Remember, this letter was going to Philippi, the Philippians. Philippi was in Macedonia, in what we call Greece now. Philippi was a colony of Rome. It was filled with Roman citizens, veterans of the Roman army, and it was a colony, but although their home was in Rome. So it is for the Christian. Heaven is our home. The church is here. We are a colony on this earth. Believe it or not, what I'm telling you is this, as Jesus said, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So yes, we are definitely a colony. As you grow in perspective, and as you grow in perseverance and perspective, it will dawn on you, one day it will be an epiphany. It will be a revelation to you as you draw closer to Jesus. This is not your home. Heaven is your home. That's where it is. And you will be operating in that way. You will be able to have this blessed hope in your heart, and this is where your patience comes in. You will be waiting, but you will be actively waiting. You will be loving God. You will be loving people. You will be sharing Jesus. You will look around and say, I'm a citizen of heaven. You'll see family members or friends that are not citizens of heaven, and you'll be trying to pull them into citizenship in heaven. You'll be operating, patiently operating, but also waiting for the time. Your perspective will change so much. You'll be thinking about the things of heaven. You'll be saying, well, what is heaven like? You'll be trying to find everything you can in this Bible, or what your home is like. You'll see loved ones, godly men and women go, and you know they were saved, and you'll be longing to see them. But more importantly than that, you'll be longing to see the King of heaven. That is where you'll be wanting to be. And when your time comes to go and you go to heaven, guess what? He gives you not only entrance in, he gives you a heavenly body. You are transformed. Think about that. A body in its prime, right? A body is in its prime, full of energy and vigor. You have a mind that is totally clear in spiritual mind, and in the sense that you can think and not have these brain cramps like I have. And I tell you right now, it'll be a lovely thing. You'll be walking around heaven on that street of gold that's shining like a mirror. You'll stop and look. You're like, woo, man, I look good. You'll love heaven. And I tell you, that is where we want to be. That's where all of us want to be. Think about that. This place is temporary. Everything in it is temporary. But heaven is eternal, where you will have joy, and most of all, you'll see the King of heaven. The one who gave you the way, the truth, and the life, and saved you from all of this mess. Now let me ask you a question. It's a sobering question. Are you a citizen of heaven? That's for you here and you online watching right now. Are you a citizen of heaven? If you can't answer that with an affirmative yes, I tell you right now, in a few moments, I'm going to give you a chance to change that. I just want to say this much, as I said already, everything here is temporary, including your life. But you do have a heavenly home if you are a citizen of heaven. The alternative, you don't want to have that at all, because the alternative is a place of darkness, a place of aloneness, a place, think about it, you'll be able to mentally know and look back on the times when you had an opportunity to become a citizen of heaven, and all you can think about is that I'm not a citizen. I'm separated from God and in torment. And the thing about that is too, here's another part of that. No hope. No hope. Here we have hope. And as a citizen of heaven, you have the blessed hope. But once you go to that place of eternal damnation, it ain't no out. It's done. So I'm pleading with you. Make that examination like we just talked about right now. If you're not a citizen of heaven, or if you are a citizen of heaven and you walked away off on the wrong path, this is the time right now for you to recommit yourself and make that another joy in your life. So what we're going to do, all you online and everybody here, whether you're a citizen or not, we're all just going to bow our heads and we're going to make a salvation prayer at this time. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Dear Jesus, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me, even though I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sin and that you rose from the dead. I trust you as my Savior and follow you as my Lord. From this day forward, amen. All right, if you made that salvation prayer for the first time, congratulations to you. You are now a citizen of heaven. What I would really like to do, if you did make that and you're here, in here, I'd love for you to fill out that Connect card. Just drop it in the offering box. Let us know that you did that. You people online, if you did that, you can do the same thing on our website. And if you are here, I would be glad to meet with you over here, right there, that door to my left. I'll be waiting for you after the service over. We come in there, we can rejoice together. We can have a prayer with you and give you some resources that will help you on your way in your new and exciting life. I just want to thank you as we call up the worship team now. We'll have a final song, an offering prayer. And after that, we'll do a benedictive prayer and we will have you on your way. Thank you for bearing with me today, and God bless you.